Certainly good to see everyone this morning. We're thankful for the opportunity to worship God together. I pray that what we're going to be talking about this morning will be something that would be beneficial and help us, at least by way of warning about one thing that is problematic. And the reason that it's problematic is because the tongue is, above all other members of the body, most difficult to control, as James tells us in chapter 3 of his epistle. In fact, we're going to be looking at that epistle in just a few moments' time, so you may want to turn in your New Testaments to James chapter 3. But I think that we all can agree that the tongue is a powerful thing. When we speak of the tongue, of course, we have reference metaphorically to the language that emanates from our mouths. Words that we speak can bring great comfort. They have the ability to express kindness toward others, concern for their welfare. Words are the way in which we impart knowledge and wisdom to one another. They are used to spread the truths of God's word and his will. However, as in many cases, there are two sides to the coin. And not only can our tongue be used for good, it can certainly be used in destructive ways as well. And this, of course, is something that is very important for us to understand, because there is a need for us to always be on guard with regard to our tongue. Always be able and mindful so that ability is accomplished. There are a lot of people that have good intentions, but they're just not mindful. They'll speak before they think. And as a result, sometimes sins can occur as a result of what you say. James chapter 3 and verse 5. You'll begin reading with me. Look at verses 5 through 6. We're not going to look at the entirety of the text of James 3. It is worth our attention and time, and perhaps we will go through an exegetical study of that particular text at a later point. But it does serve to introduce our topic for this morning. That is the sin of gossip. Notice in verse 5, James chapter 3 and verse 5 of the text, these words. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire. It is a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. And I think that you know, as do I, that words indeed can be extremely destructive. Words have started world wars. They have destroyed churches and divided brethren. Words have gutted homes and ended marriages. And words have often turned friends into enemies. And so it is important that we learn to restrain our tongues. And in order to do that, we have to be able to control our heart, because what comes out of the mouth has its origins in the heart of man. You remember the text of Matthew chapter 15 when there was that discussion with regard to the things that you eat and what may defile. Of course, there were certain unclean animals to which, if they were eaten under that old law, then that was considered a sin against God. But Jesus made the point in verse 11 of the text that it is not what goes into the mouth which defiles a man, but rather what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man. In fact, those restrictions, those dietary restrictions that were a part of the old law, are no longer present for us under the new covenant. And so there were lessons to be taught concerning the need for sanctity and the need for holiness. And those things were taught well. You may remember in Acts the 10th chapter, before Cornelius met up with Peter, that Peter was witnessed a vision. He was on a rooftop praying, and this vision occurred where there was a great blanket or sheet that was let down. And as it was let down, there were animals on that sheet, those that were clean and those that were unclean, and the command given, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter objected, not so, Lord. And he indicated that as a Jew, he had never eaten or touched anything that was unclean. And God said, what I have cleansed, you must not call common or unclean. And it was to teach them that the Gentiles were to receive entrance into the kingdom as well. But there was that lesson that was taught concerning not touching what is unclean. Jesus is saying here, what is unclean is not what goes into the mouth, but rather what comes out of the mouth. Notice in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15 and verse 16. Jesus said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." In this particular case, again, another prohibition that was given was to wash before eating, and there was a ceremonial washing that was done. But I do want you to notice in this particular context, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, false witness, and blasphemies. Three of those sins. The evil thoughts bring forth evil speech, and specific types of speech mentioned in that text is false witness and blasphemy. That is speaking evil or against God. Now, one of the things that defiles a man with regard to what comes from the mouth is gossip. And the reason why it is sinful is that it shows contempt for your neighbor. It's evidence of an unrestrained tongue, a tongue that is not being controlled by that good heart. Going back to that text in James, in chapter 3, there is a statement there that no man can tame the tongue. We'll talk a little bit more about this in a few moments, but I want you to think about that. Think of a wild beast that can be trained, perhaps. It can be controlled, perhaps, but it cannot be tamed. In other words, there is that need to always be on guard concerning your tongue. It is, he says, an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, when you look at the lives of those who are living as Christians, those who are faithful in their service to God, and you consider their speech, that it is with grace, that it is seasoned with salt, that they know how they ought to speak to all men at all times, you would not say that the tongue, in their case, was a deadly poison. But that is because they have that control over the tongue. Those things that are poisonous, those things that are deleterious, those things that are destructive, are things that they do not say because their heart is in control. And they do think before they speak. But you have to recognize that you cannot tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless God and Father. And with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness or similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. He says, "My brethren, these things ought not to be so." An individual who blesses others, who's have a loving type of speech, who is striving to encourage and to edify, well, that person is going against character if, in addition to that, he begins to speak blasphemies and curses with the same mouth. It's something that is antithetical to being a child of God. It ought not to be that way, but typically you will see those things. I remember talking with a preacher a number of years ago who had a good friend that he hunted with. And he had a discussion with this man because this man, who was a member of a denomination, claimed to be a faithful Christian, and his speech was peppered with hallelujahs and praise gods and those kinds of words and expressions that you'll commonly hear among some who claim to be children of God. But at the same time, his speech was filled with curses and profanity. And my friend, he went to this passage and he said, "This is not the way that you're supposed to act if you call yourself a Christian. If you claim to be a follower of Christ, to in one voice or in one breath say praise God or hallelujah, something like that, and in the next thought to maybe blaspheme, to use the name of the Lord in vain, this ought not to be." But it is something that you find characteristic among some people. They think that there is not a great problem with this kind of profane speech or this kind of sinful speech. But in this particular case, we're talking specifically about the sin of gossip. And before opening our mouths, there are certain truths that we need to consider with regard to this particular sin. We're going to start off by noting that the person who gossips is one who bears tales. He is a tale bearer. In Proverbs chapter 17, and we'll look at verse 9 of the text. Proverbs 17 and verse 9, he who covers transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Now I want you to think about that. The book of Proverbs is a good place to go to talk about the dangers of a tongue that is not restrained. And there is a truth to this. Perhaps you have anecdotally, you've seen it in your own life, you've seen it happen time and again where individuals will find something. Perhaps it's something that is said in confidence, something that they have seen, something that they have overheard, and as a result of this unrestrained tongue, they then repeat it to others to the detriment of a friendship. It causes hurt feelings. It causes strife among those individuals. And it's a disturbing thing how that people actually get a thrill out of this. They enjoy gossip. In fact, there are television shows that have been created for the express purpose of gossiping and of spreading gossip. One of the things that is most enjoyable and has the highest ratings in our nation today is to learn gossip about movie stars and about sports figures and about individuals who are famous. We want to hear what is the latest tidbit, the most juicy gossip. And of course, when we do that, we foment the problem. We add to that problem, but there is a real joy to be the one to be able to share something that no one else knows that is scandalous, that is negative about someone else. In fact, in Proverbs 18 and verse 8, chapter 18 and verse 8, there is this statement by the wise man. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. They're like tasty trifles. And we talk about that which is salacious, those stories that we tell, that they're just so delicious. In fact, the word delicious is often used. I've got a delicious tidbit that I want to share with you. And it is just that, a tasty trifle. It's just like a delicacy, some sweet dessert, some small thing that you put in your mouth and it just melts in your mouth, but it goes down into the inmost being. And as we stated before, it is truly a poison. And we cannot emphasize to too great an extent how destructive the efforts of these who bear tales, who pass on these gossiping tidbits, how destructive those things are. The gospel, it spreads poison to others, especially to their own souls, but it causes such destructive things, and we need to recognize that that is the case. The second point that we want to make note of is that the person who gossips is an individual who sows strife. Not only are you as a result of this something that you enjoy, that it's a poison and it poisons you, but it does separate, as we've alluded to already. And there are a couple of passages in Proverbs 16 which indicates that very clearly. Actually, one passage, verse 19, but the context begins in verse 16. These are six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him. So a total of seven things in this list that are an abomination to God, that God hates. And among those in chapter 6 and verse 19, it is a false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among brethren. So perhaps it is important for us to acknowledge as we look at this, as the word brethren is used here, not necessarily in the idea of fellowship in Christ, but family as well as national brethren. You remember Ananias, he told Saul, called him a brother because he was a fellow Jew. And so it can be used in broader context, but I think that there is an appropriate application we can make with regard to the relationship that we sustain one with another in Christ Jesus, that is, as Christians. How destructive it can be to gossip, because that kind of thing is something that could cause division among the people of God. As sides are taken, some may agree with the gossip, be brought in with it. Others may object to it, and division comes as a result of that between brethren. And that alone is sufficient reason not to be guilty of this particular sin, knowing just how destructive it can be to the people of God. The third point that we want to make is that the person who gossips is, in fact, a slanderer. This is something that is typical, although perhaps the language that is used here concerning a slanderer is one that is not exactly with regard to this particular word, the same definition that we use legally in our our nation today, and when you can be guilty of slander, and as a result of that, libel, and because of that, you can actually be sued as a result of it. And the only thing that you have to do in order to prove that it's not slander is to prove that it's true, or prove that the intent was not to harm. Those are the things that come in regard to that. But you can be slanderous, speaking evil against someone, even if the evil that you speak is something that is true. What is your motivation in that? We talk in Matthew chapter 18 about the responsibility when one sins against you to go to that person alone. Well, why is that? The person is actually engaged in a sinful thing. He has sinned against you personally. You and he know about it, but not necessarily anyone else. What can you do? You can go and tell other Christians that he sinned against me. He did evil against me, and it may be so, but why are you doing that? What is the purpose of sharing that message? Is it to destroy his credibility, to hurt his influence, to harm his person? Is it retaliatory that you do such a thing? The instruction that Jesus gave in that case is to go to that person alone and seek to in some way come to an understanding and to bring that individual to repentance. If he won't hear you, then take two or three with you, that every word may be established. And then finally, if he will not hear even the two or three, then bring it to the church. But the purpose of all that is so that you might spare the feelings and accomplish what is supposedly the intent, and that is to share with that person their sin, their transgression, to bring them to repentance. In Galatians chapter 6, we are told that those who are spiritual are to do such things. So if we are spiritually minded, rather than wanting to harm someone, to libel someone, to slander someone, then perhaps it is important that we consider that very thing. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28, we are told that it is a perverse man who sows strife. A whisperer separates the best of friends. And that is what's happening. An individual is whispering. He's saying it behind their back. He's talking quietly. Oh, I've got something I want you to hear about. I want you to know about this. This is an amazing thing. Or this is a terrible thing about so-and-so. And so you whisper it in their ears. In fact, typically when you talk about gossip, that's the picture that you get. It did not take much for me to find something on the internet that in a simple way established the concept of gossip. If I were to just put that icon up on the board, you would say that's gossip. You're whispering in someone's ear. You're telling them something that you don't want anyone else to overhear you saying, that's something evil about another. It is, in fact, something that is slanderous. A person who desires to bring strife is perverse. Whispering to destroy reputations is indeed slander. The psalmist in Psalm 101 and verse 5 says, "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure." And so God will destroy the slanderer. The next point that we want to share is that the one who gossips is, in fact, a busybody. Peter admonishes against such actions in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15. Talking about the consequence of your actions, he says, "Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters." Now, if you suffer as a Christian, then you're to glorify God in that, and you are to rejoice in the fact that you're found worthy to suffer as a Christian. But if you're suffering because of some sin that you're committing, then if you suffer, you deserve the suffering you get. And one of those sins is to being a busybody in other people's matters. Now there's a very, I would not say it's necessarily a thin line. In fact, I think it there is an easy demarcation between what it is to be concerned about your brother and to be a busybody in his affairs. In other words, if I come across my brother in sin, then it is my responsibility as one who is spiritual to bring him to repentance, as Galatians 6 tells me. It's another thing for me to be snooping, to be involved in the affairs of others that are none of my business and I have no part in, and then to defend doing that by saying, "Well, I'm just looking for the truth," or I'm just seeking to make sure that my brethren are safe. And you can almost always tell, because the difference between the two is the individual who brings a sinner to repentance is a spiritual individual who is respected and appreciated by his brethren, but everybody knows who the busybodies are. Is that not so? And you need to be careful with regard to your motivation and your actions, and to recognize that other people have their affairs and may not want you to be a part of their affairs. And if you seek to insert yourself into those things anyway, even if it's under the auspices of being a good brother or sister in Christ, in fact, what you're being is indeed a busybody. Gossip is meddling in other people's lives is none of your business. And that's basically what he's saying in this particular text. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11, there were individuals on this particular occasion who were walking in a disorderly manner among those in Thessalonica in the church. They weren't working. Instead, they were busybodies. The Apostle Paul said there, we command such, exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Don't concern yourself so much with everybody else. Be more concerned with doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that's an important thing. Now, the final couple of points that we want to make in the lesson this morning have reference to where it comes from and why it happens. And I think the first part of that is indicated there in Thessalonica. And it is stated very clearly in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And that is that people gossip when they are idle. You've heard people say this, I'm too busy minding my own business. I have too much that I have to do for myself to make sure that I'm where I need to be out there seeking out these tidbits to try to spread them and to harm others. I'm too busy minding my own business. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about there. They're idle. They're not working. They just have idle time. And as a result of that, they are involving themselves in the lives of others. You may remember in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that the Apostle Paul talks about not putting young widows on the roll of the church. In other words, if a young widow is supported by the church, she's lost her husband, she's a young woman, the church puts her on the roll, okay, so she's receiving support, she doesn't have a household to run, so what does she do? The Apostle Paul says this in verse 13, it may be considered by some to be misogynistic, but this is, of course, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that such young women learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies saying things which they ought not. Which is why the Apostle Paul, on this particular occasion, says that the younger widows are not to be put on the roll, but let them marry. That is, let them again, enter into that relationship with a man and become wife to her husband and be busy establishing her household and raising her children. Those with busy lives have little time to insert themselves into other lives. You've heard the cliche that idle hands are the devil's workshop, and there is a lot of truth to that. So to avoid the sin of gossip, we need to use our times productively so that we'll bear righteous fruit rather than the poisonous fruit of which we speak in this particular lesson. And then the final point we want to make in this regard is that the tongue is something that requires constant surveillance. There is that allusion to that in James chapter 3. I would like to take you back to that text, James chapter 3 and verse 8, where we are again told no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now think about this just quickly, an unruly poison. You think about a lion tamer as an example. A careful lion tamer is an individual who has the ability to control the animals that he is training. In fact, that's what basically a lion tamer is doing. He's controlling the animals, but he is careful not to turn his back on the lion. And there have been numerous instances to where the lion tamer, because these are not, or lion trainer, tamer, because they're not really tame lions, that he's been mauled or he's been attacked by the very ones he's training. You look at one who is in control, it looks like the lions have this respect for him. But sometimes that doesn't work because they are not tame. They're dangerous animals. James chapter 3 and verse 9, again, that statement concerning blessing God, and then out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. These things ought not to be so. Notice the illustration in verse 11. A spring. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And just as that is the case, naturally that's the way it ought to be with the tongue. If you are indeed a Christian, it is important that you be constantly vigilant with regard to your tongue, because constant vigilance is required for it to be effective for blessing rather than cursing. In effect, in order for our tongue to be pure, our language to be pure, it is necessary that our hearts be pure and our hearts be in control of our tongue. Now, so think about what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. When he said, "Brethren, whatever things are true and whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is anything virtuous, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Those are the things that should fill our hearts. Those are the things that should be present in our minds, so that when we speak with speech that is seasoned with salt, speech that is gracious, speech that is not divisive, speech that we do not later have to apologize for because we spoke before we thought. So, brethren, the sin of gossip, just like other sins of the tongue, is something that is extremely destructive. Gossip is not something that is harmless. It is not something that is minor. In fact, we are told, again in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 19, that one who sows discord among brethren is among the seven things that are an abomination to God. God hates it. God hates gossip. Understand that. The next time such a tasty trifle is under consideration, the next time that you hear something and you have this, perhaps even a natural inclination, because after all, we are imperfect individuals, that you want to share this juicy tidbit with someone else. You want to repeat what you heard, what was said, what you overheard, and share with someone else something that they don't know about, something that is amazing, something that is arresting, something that is scandalous. Then remember that God hates such things. And you cannot please Him, and you cannot be accepted of Him if you persist in the sin of gossip. So as we draw this lesson to a close, we're thankful for the fact that we've had an opportunity to share this particular message with you. And I hope and pray that gossip is not a problem in your life. But the only way that gossip and other sins of the tongue will not be a problem is because your heart is in control. And you always think about what you say. Think before you speak. And you always think about what God would have you to say before you say it. So let's all be careful not to be guilty of the sin of gossip. Not knowing the hearts of any, it may be that there is one here this morning who desires to become obedient to the gospel of our Lord. We encourage you not to wait to do that, to take advantage of the opportunity we are sharing with you now. If there is anything that we can do to assist you in your Christian walk, to help you in any way, to encourage you, we offer ourselves to you at this time. And we ask that you come now while together we stand and while we sing.